for any, I usually don't say this, for anybody that's listening, this is the podcast version, and I have overhead here what has been called, and justifiably so, perhaps the most famous picture of the 20th century. And it is a picture taken from Apollo 8 of the Earth rising over the moon. And it was a view of the universe that had never been seen before 1968 in the history of humanity. It's hard to overestimate the power of this one image for the imagination of humanity. And I mentioned it because I think it fits in with the ascension, not that Jesus went by there on his way to heaven or something, but I'm not implying that. It was a perspective that God permitted through science and through the amazing, when you think about the primitive computer technology of the day, that this was done 50 years ago is almost beyond belief. But it in itself was a statement about the human condition, that all of human history and all history was contained there. And as far as we know, even today, the only planet in the universe with intelligent, well, perhaps intelligent life. You wonder sometimes. But if we do find another Earth out there, and it's likely they're impossibly far away to get to, and Mars is, I don't particularly want to live on Mars. There's no safe way there, for example, you know, that kind of thing. But I mean, this is it. This is our planet. It's got a thin atmosphere, and people realize it looks a bit fragile out there in the endless expanse of black. And just as an aside, something I learned while researching this, Earth Day began after the year after this picture, and the whole environmental movement, such as it is, was kicked off by the realization of our planet and what God's given us. You can believe that either take an explosion, have 4 billion years, and this magnificent orb was there and has no creator and it's an accident, or it's a biological machine. If you see now where there are movies of the Earth in motion, especially speed it up a little bit, you can see it's an intricate and exquisite biological mechanism that is keeping us alive and for a purpose. It's a train station. We come, we don't know how we don't remember getting here, but we sure have to get off today. And while we're here, we're looking for insight. And the ascension is a day of insight. This inspires us to think outside the box, outside the sphere of the world that we live in, to not be enclosed, but to look beyond the everyday, just as the eclipse did for us, all privileged we were to be in this center of totality, that the spirituality of being pulled away from the Earth and into the solar system the way we all were. Jesus, in the second reading, is extremely interesting. The book of Hebrews talks about Jesus, our high priest. We're using Hebrews chapter 1, where this mysterious priest and king, Melchizedek, king of Salem, later Jerusalem, city of peace, meets Abraham, and Abraham offers sacrifice, and Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. The point being, Melchizedek offered bread and wine. So we see right at the beginnings of Jesus' sacrifice. And Jesus is not a Levite. The Levites were the ones that ran the temple. They were the Sadducees. Instead, he was a priest of Melchizedek, not born of the priestly tribe, but instead, going back to Abraham, he is a priest forever. Melchizedek, since we don't know where he came from or where he went, he is, in essence, a priest forever. So Jesus, then, as he dies, this is the imagery we just heard in the second reading. The animal sacrifices were on the altar in front of, not in the Jewish temple. And Jesus himself, quite symbolically and literally on the cross, placed himself on the altar and offered his sufferings for the human race. Not the high priest that entered once a year and could never take away sins, but was only symbolic. The Lord God himself placed himself on the altar on our behalf, and hence all human suffering was given meaning at that moment, yours and mine, though not fully explained. And He says, I want you to join me on this journey through the temple, through the veil that veils all humanity, if you will, the atmosphere we cannot see through except the stars. I want to pull you out beyond the moon. Now, it's not an accident that we have these extra images in a time in human history when everything is so dark and people can't see God beyond the universe as most other cultures could see beyond to the infinite, even if they didn't think they could go there. And he then went through the temple, through the veil, the curtain which separated the body of the church the body of the temple into the Holy of Holies, which was empty and had the presence of God, according to the Jewish theology. Once a year, the high priest would go in there. I don't know what he did in there, but he would pray. So Jesus parts the curtains. You remember when he died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The old covenant had been fulfilled at that moment. And Jesus passed through there, being God. He passed through those gates and entered eternity to plead forever on our behalf before the Lord, unlike anybody else could do. This image, and then he appears, and he says this enigmatic statement to the apostles. I believe it was the reading, the first Mercy Sunday. Thus, I spoke to you while I was still with you, he says, while he's standing there. As a resurrected body, he's no longer really in this dimension any longer, but he's still appearing to them. It's kind of interesting because scientists are debating whether there is other intelligent life in the universe. One would think there would be with as big as it is, but the Catholic Church has always believed there is. And what are they? Angels, right? They live in another dimension. It intersects with us, and it's fully other, and they're fully intelligent. They can come and go as they please in our dimension. We are not invited into theirs except by God. We can infer God from many signs in this world if we have the eyes to see it, but to be invited to the table of the Creator or to know who He is or that He loves us and created that we are created beings requires revelation from God because it is beyond the human senses, and yet it makes sense when we inculcate it into ourselves. So what our Lord then in the ascension, obviously, His body ascending into heaven was for the benefit of the onlookers. Notice how he doesn't give away much about the future except what we need to know or about the true state of affairs in the universe at large. That's for human beings to discover on their own. And even theologies, 2,000 years, the church has been clarifying and purifying the theology in the ups and downs of our own church that we love. And Jesus, however, once he got beyond sight, I imagine that he immediately entered that other realm of the angels and immediately got larger than the universe itself. After all, he created it, and there it was. And then he joined those in heaven who had set this all up. Our test continues, and Jesus promised to be with us with the Holy Spirit that comes next week. So what are we then to do? One of the things is to be aware that we have a mission. We have a purpose. We are not here. We are not accidents of space and time. We were known before birth. God has a permanent name for us in heaven. As our parent, He has the right to name us. We will know the full extent of what He did with us and for us at the moment of death. Until then, we live our lives for others. We do not live just for ourselves, but for those for whom we are sent. And that revelation, some things we know, our families and friends and people that we work with and run into, and some are given to us in the present moment. And if we're open to the Spirit, we'll begin to see that. We're also called to be witnesses by the difference we make in our lives. Is my life any different than others? This is part of the gift that God gives us. We had a baptism at the last Mass, and all of us, these two babies were, one of the mothers was looking for her keys in the front row, if you're wondering what she was doing here, but she found them. And these babies were anointed priest, prophet, and king. Priest because we're all called to make sacrifices for God, and you are given things that are involuntary and voluntary. You can choose what to do with the voluntary. The involuntary, we have to learn to accept that and offer it to God. So priest offering sacrifices as we do at the altar. I have ministerial priesthood. It exists only for the benefit of others, not for myself. It's just a gift for the church. That's what this is. And then prophet, to make a difference in the world, if not by words, then by an example that we are believers. We are not pagans. We don't live a life of meaningless and ultimately hopelessness at the end of our lives. We're people full of hope. And king, meaning that we have a reward in heaven beyond any imagining that we cannot even begin to conceive. We are related to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? Children of God, even the angels weren't given titles like that. Yet we don't know fully what all those things mean. It also gives, I think, a perspective on human history that I find the news probably as depressing as everyone else does here. I'm not sure if it's been any different. You remember, those of you who remember, 1968 wasn't exactly a banner year for this country. RFK had been killed, Martin Luther King, JFK. We had riots in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. The whole country seemed to be coming apart, and we survived it, right? It doesn't matter. Whatever human history offers us, we're just here for a moment. I know what the future is. It's good. And that perspective is just invaluable. That's why so many of these feasts we come here and we are renewed in our hope that our Lord says, you know, it's going to be all right. You're going to have to go through something. Just be my witness. I'll give you what you need at the moment you need it. Manna for the moment. So we are grateful for the ascension. Jesus brings us to this picture. He gave the whole world a new perspective that was never seen before. The furthest away picture of the earth ever taken at that time. Nobody had ever seen the earth from that perspective. It's unbelievable when you think about it. But the ascension, our Lord takes us out beyond the edges of the universe that we still haven't found yet to what's really real, that which will not end one day but will last forever. The Creator himself, who set the whole thing in motion, however it came to be afterward. Our Lord is behind it all and with us always, even to the end of the age.